time, Adam. And I'm Paul, and this is Game of Cast episode 12. And we're being really quick today because I want to get out of here and play Homeworld 2.
Yeah. Short episode, but I imagine we'll drag along and be the same normal time as usual. Right. Let's start with the letters.
Hang on a minute, let's start with something else. Sponsorship. If you want to sponsor Game of Cast, send email to feedback@gamercast.net, and for a small-ish amount of money, you could sponsor the show and have your crap read at the beginning.
Yeah, as well as posted all over the internet on our website.
Yeah, if the price is right.
If the price is right.
We also need donations because we need money.
Yeah, especially if you want to blow something up.
Right, anyway, on with the letters.
Yeah.
Matt said, I'm doing the speech marks thing now. Dude, that was so funny. You ain't bringing that back, are you? He was talking about the PS2 we destroyed last week there, which if you haven't already watched, you should do. It's up on gamercast.net, and you should watch it because it's really cool. We are going to bring it back at some point and get a new one, because honestly, we did just turn it on and that happened to it. So yes, we're going to get another one. Bob Mann, he wants to know something.
One question, though. What happened to the explosives? Even though it is Chinese New Year, which is quite cool, but it's just the fact that getting hold of something that can blow up PS2 is quite hard. We nearly had a chance to get hold of some gunpowder, but we wouldn't have been able to blow it up in the garage, and it would have meant trudging for miles through all the fields to get as far away from
civilization.
Yeah, and the fact that I live right near to a naval air base is not a good thing.
No.
They
are a bit sketchy about that sort of stuff around here.
Yeah, and I did try to find some fireworks for the Chinese New Year, and the smallest one I could find would just about fit inside an Xbox One if you took the internal parts out of an Xbox, so it wasn't really feasible. But I had a lot of time with the breeze block. There were some things I did that weren't even on the video because they didn't work well or they just didn't do any damage. I went through two rivet guns doing it. First one packed in.
What happened to the saw and cutting it up?
Well, we were going to do that, but it was the fact that
But it was too bloody cold!
It was cold when I was doing it, but after the first attempt at the breeze block and all the foam got smashed, when I ripped it all apart, when I looked inside, it's still gluey and all kind of green psychedelic glue that hadn't expanded, and we were a bit bothered that that would just fly everywhere and stick to everything, and the stuff wouldn't even come off my fingers.
You shouldn't have used the foam!
No, the foam was a bit of a bad idea, but it was quite fun to actually...
It was pretty cool seeing all the worms come out, and then, you know, the next day, when it was just the size of a house.
Yeah, because it kept expanding through the night. We sat there watching DVDs and just watching this little bubble come out. It just grew and grew, like this long worm.
We should have recorded all that and do, like, a time-lapse thing.
Yeah, that would have been quite cool. I could have got a program after.
Then you could see Stuart, like, falling over and stuff in front of the camera.
He kept going up and prodding it. I was like, dude, if you stick your finger in it, you're stuck to it. But yeah, no, shame about the explosive, but I think the whole foam and breeze block has never been done before, so I'm going to come up with some more ideas of how you could smash up a PS2. I'm thinking about checking out my car at high speed.
Well, no, what we should do is, with the safety foam, we wrap it up in a big ball, so you can't see the PS2 at all, and we just have this big, you know, ball thing, and we play football with it, and we drag it behind the car, and we do lots of things with it, and advertise it as safety foam.
And then take it out and see if it still works.
But it will still work, won't it?
Yeah.
The foam, our GamerCast branded safety foam will protect anything.
Yeah. Wrap your 360 in it. That'll stop it from overheating. Right. Who was this letter from?
Still Bob Mann.
Still Bob Mann. He was going on about the phrase bow chicka bow wow, which Paul says a lot, which was my fault for telling him about it. Is from Red versus Blue, which rocks. He also says he hears that the sound is from the guitar on Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine. And he says, personally, I can't hear it.
It's not in that.
There's
no, like, you know, you just, it's not there, is it?
Yeah. The reason why...
It's more of a porno thing.
Yeah, if you've seen the episode, Series 4 of Red versus Blue, the bad...
Tucker!
The bow chicka bow wow was used because he was trying to make reference that his words were kind of like the dictation from a porn film, and the bow chicka bow wow is the reenaction of
the bass.
Bass riff. So it's kind of like bom, 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 sort of thing, kind of like what you get in a cheesy old porn film. So he was trying to give that impression, but doing it kind of bow chicka bow wow. because it's kind of like the wow wow pedal and some of the effects you can get from doing slap bass. I can do the sound pretty much on my bass guitar, which is quite cool. But yeah, that's...
Oh, that's a cool thing. Speaking of guitars and stuff, Fade should have our new intro music by tomorrow, or by yesterday afternoon. Ooh. Because we're recording this on Friday.
Yeah, because I'm off to Wales to go get drunk with my mates.
Hey, Bobman was in Cardiff just lately.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Raid Dragons. Wales rules.
Hang on, let's have a look at the email. Da-da-da-da, Bobman, blah, 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 blah. I can't find it now.
Oh, never mind.
But he was in Cardiff at some point.
Yeah, Cardiff rocks. If I could get a job in Cardiff, I'd quite happily move back
there.
Yeah,
Cardiff is quite nice for like a major city.
Mm. It's nice the fact that you can go most near enough any place in Cardiff and still see trees. You've got the massive big Cardiff Castle slap back in the middle. A couple of train stations. Forbidden Planet, which rocks.
Oh, here we go. Awesome episode, guys, as per usual. I missed out last week since I was down in Cardiff without my iPod. I was almost suicidal again.
I could just imagine him sat on a bus listening to us, just gibbering along, and people looking at him going, the fuck's he on?
He's on caffeine pills.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try some of those. They might help us do the episode. Right, Tony says, seriously, I think I started to hear the PS2 cry and begging for mercy. I think that might have been the drill.
Yeah, the drill made a very nice sound on the camera.
The rivet gun, oh my god, I nearly crapped myself. My dad gave it to me, he goes, watch out, it's loud. He's like, I nearly dropped it. But,
You nearly put a couple of holes through your foot.
Yeah, my dad gave me strict instructions in order to put your hand on the other end of it, because it would just go through your hand. I was like, okay. But no, I must admit, I did enjoy doing that. It was cool.
It was. We just need another PS. We just need like 20 PS2s, then a really high-powered rifle, shoot all the way through the line.
Yeah, I must admit, the drill bit had a hard time getting through all the parts. There's a lot of good metal pieces inside that I probably could have used a better drill bit and to zip through it all.
Yeah, if you use a smaller drill bit and maybe go to some garage where they've got the big pull-down...
Ooh, actually,
overpowered ones.
Question from, I can't remember who said it, off Portal Forums about the destruction of the PS2, said, why couldn't I stand it up vertically when I hit it with a breeze block? Well, this isn't actually in the video because I cut it out, because when you watch the video, it's just the breeze block landing again and again and again. I've cut all the bits where I go back to pick it up.
Thank heavens.
Yeah, otherwise it would have just been long. I actually tried to stand the breeze block up vertically, but because it bowed where I'd hit it so many times
PS2,
it just kept falling over. And I was trying to balance it and trying to get it to stay there, and it ended up propping up against the ladder. My dad was like, wait, the ladder, I'm going to take myself out, because I was standing on the top of this A-frame ladder. So I was... Unfortunately, I had to choose back front sort of thing.
What we need to do is get a helicopter. Yeah, if you get this job at Yeovilton or Westlands, whatever, then you just borrow a helicopter.
You drop it. Missed. Next breeze block. Missed.
Or just get bored and chuck the PS2 out of the helicopter into a cliff or something.
Yeah. That'd be quite cool.
Right.
Next on. Homeworld 2.
Shall we do this or EVE Online first?
Actually, yeah, we'll do EVE Online, because this is the reason why we got Homeworld 2. As most of you listeners will probably guess, I'm big, massive multiplayer online, and Paul isn't because of the fact you have to pay for it. I've been looking at odd reviews about the top three and stuff like that, and now and again EVE Online pops up, and I've actually had a go at looking about it, seeing what it's about, because I've read some reviews and the fact that there is no limits to what you can do. I was reading a review about it where someone... Him and his mate made this massive big corporation, and he was second in command, and he actually paid this really big secret organization to help him take over his mate's company. And his mate ended up with nothing. Completely broke, had to start all from scratch again. So
that's cool, man, unless you're on the receiving end.
Yeah, if you're a bounty hunter, it's not levels, it's actually people's bounties that they post on the game. So you can go around
hunting. It's real stuff.
Yeah, there's no boundaries. It's not like, well, where you defeat the evil God knows what in the cave of God knows what, and as soon as you've killed him, you go back out, some other idiot wanting that sword walked past, goes into the cave, and oh, he's respawned, and you do it again. I love World of Warcraft, but for this, it was like everything's completely changeable all the time. If someone else gets it before you do, then that's tough.
You have to kill them and nick it off them.
Yeah, basically. So, but I was showing Paul some of the pictures from it, and it was...
It looks quite nice.
Yeah. Just the kind of like nice expanding space with all the nice lights and light flares and stuff. So as soon as I showed Paul, the next thing he's going is, oh, it looks like Homeworld. And there's me wanting to play X2. And so that basically got us on to me going out and buying Homeworld 2, because you can find your copy of Homeworld, and we've been playing it on the internet for ages, haven't we?
Yeah, one game on the internet and a couple of games on the LAN.
Yeah. But yeah, and then this brings us to Homeworld 2.
This brings us to our Homeworld 2 segment of the week.
Oh yes. I played Homeworld, because my dad had a free version of it that his mate gave him for the PC. I had a quick go, went through the tutorials, and I was kind of like, brain melting, bored. And
then I first saw Homeworld on, what was it called? It was on some weekly nerd gadget show a couple of years ago. On like there was a TV station on Sky. I can't remember what it was called, but they had a show on there every week, and they were reviewing it. I was like, wow, that looks really cool. So I went out and downloaded Homeworld, and we should probably cut that. And yeah, it was really good, especially multiplayer. I played it multiplayer a lot, and then obviously when they brought Homeworld 2 out, I was like, yeah, let's go and buy that. Paid £30 for it. So there you go, that makes up for my earlier download. The single player in Homeworld 2 absolutely sucks. I cannot stand it at all, it's really crap. But multiplayer, if it's as good as number one, I don't know. But it's still fun.
Yeah, I must admit, I haven't played it single player yet, but my dad was watching me play against you over my shoulder. No, it wasn't. I was playing by myself, I was playing the computer in a match like I would have been playing against you, and you were playing on my shirt. Over my shoulder, and he liked the aspect that it was like three-dimensional movement in space, but it felt more like ships at war, because you had your battle cruisers and the guns rotated. And
battle cruisers is one of the reasons why it sucks. It's a race to who builds the battle cruiser.
Yeah, I had a battle cruiser that was tugging along, and it didn't get where it wanted to get in time. It was at the end of the ass end of the battle. But I had my destroyers. My dad loved those because it just came up broadside and started shooting across, and it was just amazing.
It's got great atmosphere. You know, if you zoom in close to the metal and you hear all the guns firing, and that's, you know.
I do like the fact that once you target your camera and you lock onto, say, your destroyer, you get the wheelie mouse and you zoom in, zoom out a couple of times, and all of a sudden it will lock and follow that character, so you can really zoom in, so you don't feel like your camera's being lost and you're spending half the time trying to navigate the camera. Not
I remember what it was. I don't think I actually had the full game of Homeworld. I think I might have just had the demo, because always we usually just ended up with fighters and frigates. I don't remember any huge
ships.
So maybe it was just a demo.
Yeah, it might have been,
because I thought that was a lot cooler, having fighters and corvettes and frigates rather than having the really big ships, because the big ships were maybe a tad overpowered.
Yeah, I must admit, I do like having some of the smaller ships as well. Because I'm finding that I've got a couple of destroyers, but the thing is, it's like you came in and attacked me. I think you had one destroyer, and I had my carrier and a couple of destroyers. And fair enough, I was blowing you out of the sky with what I had, but all you had to do was get your marines lock on underneath and start kidnapping one of mine. And I've only got a couple of ships that are really big targets. You get your bombers continuously attacking, you'll slowly kick my ass. And you've only got to shoot two vehicles, where I've got just two ships, and I've got God knows how many of your fighters all over my head, and how many frigates you're
trying. It's the same thing as the game we just had,
where
I attack with carrier, we have a couple of bombers, and whatever, I took out your carrier, But after that, you had your flagship up there, and it's just sending loads of fighters out, and it's like, holy crap, I better get out of here.
Yeah, because I just went into hyperspace from my home base, appeared, and I literally just went launch all, and I had so many bombers and fighters in there, they all just stream out. The thing I like about it is they don't just, when you tell them to come out, they all come out and line up, just sat there.
That's another thing I like. You know, in a lot of real-time strategy games, you tell units to attack and they just attack randomly. If you tell them to attack in this, they'll actually attack targets they're good against. So interceptors won't go and attack a capital ship. Yeah. They'll attack bombers or other interceptors. Yeah. Or bombers will say, oh, attacking interceptors is no good, I'll attack the frigates. Yeah. Or whatever. So they do that automatically. So that's a really cool feature of it. Because that pisses me off in real-time strategy games.
Yeah, where they start attacking stuff they're not supposed to. The other thing I like about it was I had fighters that I never even clicked on when you came up to me. And they just turned ass and attacked you. Even though I was nowhere near it. My camera was over by my
carrier. It's got loads of options like that. It's got loads of formation options, stance options, and stuff like that, which is quite cool to mess around with.
Because when I walked my home base to you, as soon as I hit launch all my fighters came out, and I didn't have to do a thing. They all just went, oh, battle, that away. And off they trotted, which was it's a nice feature. Little thing I want to stick in, which is not on our list.
Here we go, adding stuff to the show notes.
Yeah, adding stuff. I noticed, making me I don't know what the name is, this one I'll have to go find out, but I think Paul will like this. It's a new massive multiplayer.
Another one.
But it's not an RPG. It's massive multiplayer RTS.
How does that work?
It's a Navy game.
Oh, hang on a minute. There was a June game, but it was cancelled. It was sort of set in space with real-time strategy elements to it. And, you know, you'd have your fleet and you could land on someone's... You basically own a planet. So you go and attack someone else's planet and you fight the real-time strategy battles as well.
Yeah.
But all the computer would play if you're not currently playing. So that was a cool idea, which I was really looking forward to, but it was cancelled because... It was the same company who made the first ever Dune game, if you remember that.
Yeah.
They were a French company. I can't remember what they're called now. They did a bit on Emperor Battle for Dune as well, I think. Look, Khajiit Boy signed in again. He's got this thing for signing in as we're doing GamerCast.
Yeah, back to this game. It's set in World War II.
Cool.
Kind of RTS battleships, carriers, subs, stuff like that. Didn't really look too much into it. I just saw it in a magazine. So I'll have to bring that in so you can have a look at it. He didn't start saying anything like subscription or anything like that. So, you know, if it's one of those free ones like Guild Wars, I imagine you'll absolutely love it.
Hang on, World War II, Pacific or Atlantic?
Didn't read that much into it. I'll have a look and...
Because I don't want some boring Pacific, boring battle with some boring Americans and Japanese, boring. We need the Royal Navy versus the Kriegsmarine. That's where the battle is, man.
Cool. Okay, well, I'll have a look for that for next episode and bring it in, because that just popped into my head. We had to pause the show quickly. You won't even notice the difference. Because Paul's just got his new Uber Microsoft keyboard. The Natural Ergonomic Keyboard 4000.
I can't get into that.
Yeah, it's my fault because he was playing around with my ergonomic keyboard at my house and was like, oh, I need one of these.
Well, I've been toying with the idea since they released this one because I wanted the black one.
Yeah, it does look nice.
Up until, I think it was September last year they released this. Up until then, they've all been, you know, beige and...
white like mine was.
Crap looking. But when they released the black one, I was, tempted. But I actually having to go on it because I was worried about the transition, obviously. I'm going to go on yours, it wasn't that really hard to do it.
Yeah.
Because I could touch type, I just don't touch type, so it's just a question of forcing myself to do it.
Mine's white and brown. There's a kind of brown stain on the Z key because I fell off my bed I can't remember what I was doing. I was trying to get up quickly to go answer the door, or I'd forgotten that Maya was cooking food. This is while I was at uni. And I fell off the bed and cried, kicked a cup of tea over, and it went all over the keyboard and stained it. Really annoying.
Well, a lot of Microsoft keyboards are like guaranteed to work for light spills, like the Comfort Curve 2000 or whatever it is designed to, you know, survive.
Yeah, well, it works absolutely fine. It's still rock and roll, it's just got a bit of tea stain.
Well, hey, anyway, Star Wars, right.
We talked about Star Wars last time, we've got the demo downloaded. There are a few things that are different compared to what I said it was like, because I was running off what people have been talking about, also the fact the reviews and also demo videos and how they explain it to make it seem really uber. Pretty much it is what I said it was, apart from the fact that you cannot be in ground and space battles at the same time. It's more you get your fleet to this to the space. They go light speed there, and then you have a battle. And then once you've won the battle, then you can land your landing ships down and then have the battle on ground. But if you've got certain ships...
I think it's got potential.
Yeah, it's got a different way about it, because the thing that I did like about it was, say, you're the rebels. Say I'm the rebels and Paul's the Empire. We're trying to fight for this bit of planet, and I'm getting my ass kicked. I could retreat back to the next planet and then come back again with a bigger force and try another go. And when I come back, by then you could have come back with more of a space fleet. So I've got to try and attack you with a space fleet and try and win you on those grounds before I can even get back to the planet's surface again. So, no, it was really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm quite impressed with it. And the other Uber thing, use the Millennium Falcon, which is really good because you still get...
Which is Adam's favourite thing in the whole world.
Millennium Falcon is my favourite ship ever. That and the O'Tana.
What's that?
There was that ship that I sent you. It's
the little one?
Yeah. It's a smidge bit smaller than the Millennium Falcon, because the Millennium Falcon is a YT-13 Corellian transport, where the O'Tana was a YT-24,000 series Corellian transport, as well as Dash's ship, which has now just been put onto Star Wars Galaxies, which is the YT-2000 model. Actually, I might have had that the wrong way around. Dash's might have been the 24,000 and the O'Tana might have been 2,000.
It doesn't matter.
It's one way or the other. But yeah, it is quite cool. And the other thing that I do like about it is, what Paul showed me, was that if you bring Han and Chewie down to the ground forces, they'll come down, leave the Millennium Falcon, and then you've got Han and Chewie.
The actual Millennium Falcon actually comes down and they get out of it.
Yeah, and then Chewie can go around and steal other... Because you got Chewie to steal a... AT-AT, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
The AT-ATs are cool, I want to build some of those.
Yeah, they do rock. But yeah, no, I'd definitely say it's a game to go have a look, download the demo, have a quick play.
What did you think of Star Wars Battlefront?
Is that the first RTS Star Wars game or the second
one? No, that was the one sort of like Battlefield. First person shooter. Did you play it?
The second one. Well, the first one.
I've got the first one here if you want to have a look.
I've got the first one. I had the first one. I've got rid of it now. I did like that one. I must admit, that was really good when System Link or online.
I've got it on the PCs.
I've had to go on the demo of the second one, and I've had to watch my mate play it because he's got it on his Xbox, and I do like the whole aspect of being a Jedi. I thought it was going to be crap, but it was well done for a simple use of the lightsaber. The thing I liked about it was the fact that in the first one you had points to try and get hold of. In this one they said try and get this point. You can go for the other ones, but if you do get this point and you complete your mission, we'll give you Obi-Wan to play with. Which I thought, you know, was a bit... You had something to do instead of just randomly going around collecting points. Alright, what's next on the list?
Oblivion!
Yes.
Again. They've released their system requirements. Which is good, because it means the game's nearly done.
Yeah,
they wouldn't release the system requirements if the game is a year away. So yeah. That's cool.
So March is looking more believable.
March looks very believable at this point.
So I'm happy. Whether or not the 360 is... That all depends.
360 shouldn't be too far behind, if anything.
Yeah. At the end of the good thing about it is... With the way that the 360 is going, the games aren't that far different.
Games are identical.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no...
If anything, the 360 is better than the PC version.
Yeah. So it's all same, same. The only thing that's different is the access.
Who is that? That's some Charlotte. Her name is Watcher PS2 Be Foamified on Gamercast.net.
I want to do it again. Stuff rocks.
No, we need to get Wester and, like, cover him in it. You see this giant green thing walking around. What the fuck is that? Oh, it's just Wester, don't worry.
I'm sure you could, like, I don't know, get some molds and make body armor and strap it on and then shoot each other with BB guns so you look like...
I know.
You could look like the Master Chief
Master Chief armor
made out of foam. are gonna have to make and you can carve this stuff as well. Once it's solidified, you can carve it. Because we use it for modeling at animation, so we just like load out and then carve away at it.
We're doing that.
Yeah, we'll have to make Master Chief armor.
Cool. Cheap Master Chief armor, not the 2,000 quid stuff like is already out there.
Yeah, and then get some BB guns to shoot each other. Right, better news. NFL Madden 06 is on live marketplace for 360. Obviously, if you've got 360, you probably most likely see the advertisements, but downloaded it. Took a long time to download.
How big is it?
It's a bit bigger than... I think it's right about the same size or a smidge bit bigger than NBA, but it just...
How big was that?
I can't remember. It took a while. I put it on 40 time and it was finished. So I would say probably from 7 o'clock down to around about maybe 9. So it was a good couple of hours, maybe 3 hours, something like that.
Does the update came through, by the way?
Yeah,
downloaded. Still no downloading in the background there.
Yeah, and also the fact that all my games that weren't working before are still not working. So no Star Wars Lego.
Dagnabbit.
I'd be happy if I just can play Star Wars Lego and Metal Gear Solid 2.
Nope, sorry.
But...
Is that it for this week?
I don't know, how long have we been recording?
Half hour, nearly.
That's pretty much it. Normal, usual.
Normal, usual time.
Yeah. But
bound.
I hope everybody enjoyed the PS2 firming.
It was a lot of work to do all that video episodes. Yeah. Well, so don't count on too many of those.
Yeah, we've been talking about...
It was really a race to have it up by Sunday night.
Yeah, if we're ever going to do video again, it won't actually be an episode. Even if we're in it, it will not be a set episode. It'll be something that we can do in our own time, and when it's ready, then we'll post it if we ever go around to doing this again.
And before I get loads of emails asking why this wasn't broadcast live with the chat room and all of that, it's Friday. We didn't really have time to do any of that stuff in advance, so
yeah. Tough. And it's also partially my fault because, again, we're not recording before we post because I'm not going to be here this weekend because I'm off to Wales. So I'm speaking really quietly again. No! I really should stop talking and watching my voice pitch.
Oh no, Kajit Boy just said something. He said, fuck.
Is that a picture of him?
Yeah. Wester thought he was a girl. It's a dude, man.
Wester Wood. My hair used to be that long.
My hair nearly is.
I need to grow my hair back. I used to have... My hair used to be down on... just where my neck finished onto my shoulders and it was black.
We're just leaving the episode rolling to see if he says anything interesting to add to our GamerCast. Come on, boy, type faster.
He's typing. Type like you mean it.
I wrote this really long post with my 500 post topic, and when I press submit, the server cannot be found, so... Oh, that don't matter. Go away. This is GamerCast, not... Just server doesn't work. So, yeah, that's it for this episode.
Yeah.
Feedback goes to feedback@GamerCast.net, or to the blog. Or to the forums.
Yeah.
The forums are portalforums.net. Yeah.
Please do leave some stuff. The other thing that we did want to mention, because me and Paul were talking about it, that we don't just want to be limited by...
Games.
Because this is not GameCast.
This is GamerCast.
This is about being a gamer, so anything...
This is Wayne's World, if Wayne and what's-his-face Garth play games.
Yeah, we're gamers, so it's everything else. So if you've got anything else that's to do with you being a gamer that you want us to talk about...
Oh my god, I've got my new gamer mouse pad!
Yeah, any gadgets that are cool for being a gamer or anything like that you want us to talk about, we're expanding a bit more and just... It's the life of being a gamer.
Yeah. So. Although we're not really expanding because we had all that...
Anyway,
we just want to
emphasize
because
that.
This is the 12th episode. Three months we've been doing this.
I know.
3 fucking months.
It's the joy of my life every weekend to come and record this episode.
Yeah, and then it's the joy of my week. Oh crap, I've got to fucking upload GamerCast again.
Never mind. Right, I'll say that's us for this week.
Yep. Catch you next week. Yep. Is next week going to be a Sunday, or are you getting pissed again?
No, I haven't even got the money to go away this weekend. James is paying. I'm transport because I've got the car. He doesn't have a car, but he's got money. So he's in a full-time job. So he gets back from London.
So we will be doing this Sunday next week, so we'll have the live thing.
Yeah, so we should be able to do live. So hopefully next week will be live, but we'll be posting all the details on Port Forums to let you know in advance, so it'll all be good. And I'd say,
catch you next week!
Bow chicka bow wow.
Bow chicka bow.
Sunday. Bye.